Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though the state of Bluetooth Union is intermittent, pair with Battleborn Tech every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific on FM 95.1 and streaming live and on demand at knvc.org. Call us at 775-241-3571. If you're wondering if here and now we've declared a war on privacy, call us. Battleborn Tech, 775-241-3571. Warm up our phone lines at 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those of the host and callers. This week, we welcome Lee and Joan. The opinions on Battleborn Tech expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of KNVC or Computer Core. We may have different opinions, but we hold the same hopes.
We've got one phone call and two voicemails today, so we got lots of space to talk. And of course, the voicemails, we just have to come up with some answers, and we don't answer on the phone like usual. We just give our answers on the air.
I always like to say that we give responses, not answers. It gives us a little more wiggle room. We may not have the answer, but we always have a response.
Let's keep Anthony from calling us.
yeah, you can't really say that. Right. Hey, we got a little time. A couple things to talk about is a tech site you might want to look up is texi.net. That's N-E-T at the end, not the other ones. T-E-X-T-I-S-E. So it's text with an I-S-E at the end and then .net. Now, what does that do? What that does is make the web less. It takes all the flashy images, graphics, CSS, floating stuff, all the stuff that may annoy you, and you say, I just want the facts. Go there. Put in the website that is way too busy with images and scrolling things and all stuff and ads, and it'll just give you the text back. So if there's a information site you like to, but you got to dig through a lot of images and a lot of other chaos, check it out. It's texi.net, a good way that converts the page, what you're looking into, plain text, no fuss, no film. And it tells you what it took out in, of course, text. So take a look at that. Hey, Joe, are you still alive today?
I think so.
Well, the number one paid app in China is not anything Bitcoin, none of those other privacy things, or it is called Are You Dead? Are You Dead? Number one app in China, and it's a simple contest. Every 2 days, the app says, are you dead? And you have to say yes or no. I don't think you say yes. I think you just say no. And when you don't respond to that, it sends out a bunch of emails and texts saying, hey, so-and-so has an answer and all that. In China, 19% of the population lives alone. And part of the result of that is that some people die and no one notices. It's kind of a sad thing. However, globally, 29, it's up globally in the United States, 29% of households are single persons. Now, in the United States, there's a little app called Snug. I haven't checked it out, but S-N-U-G that does the similar thing. Who knows that? We're becoming our own Tamagotchi. How do you say that, pets?
The Tamagotchis, where you had to click a button to feed it every so often,
and yeah, or it died. So now you're the Tamagotchi.
Well, I think it's an app with a good purpose behind it, because like you said, if you live alone, and even something as basic as you've fallen down, and let's say you got stuck, and you've fallen, maybe broken a hip or something like that.
Yeah, you don't want to wait 2 days, but
no, you definitely don't. But
I know somebody that worked that had 2 days on the ground. That's why you get one of those little alert things. Of course, you got to remember to wear it all the time.
Yeah. Well, we've got our first message of the day, and this is Joan. And Joan's actually contacted us twice this week. The first message is about lock screen photos. And, well, we're going to take her answer on the air.
Hi, this is Joan. My question is, the gorgeous pictures that we get on our computer screen when it's not being used, is there a way for us to tell where those are? They are just so magnificent. I would just love to know. All right, let me know. Thank you.
Well, lock screen isn't term. Well, there is a lock screen entry, but the key thing is to make sure that you've turned on Spotlight. Now, a recent update to Windows 11 has said that little link that says, tell me more about this picture or like this picture, question mark, that tells you where it's thing sometimes goes away. Hopefully that'll be fixed in another update that fixes the update. But what you want to make sure is that you want to go in through personalization and make sure that you've got the Windows Spotlight on. It's in settings, personalizations, lock screen. If you want to look at, you want to look to see if it's working, you can do the Windows key, hold that down like a shift, then tap the L, and then that will do that as well. And shows you the lock screen for that. If you want to turn that back on, sometimes you have to switch it to picture, reboot, switch it back to Windows Spotlight, reboot, and then maybe it'll come back again. There is a place where it does store the lock screen image. It's too long of a URL to give out on, or not a URL, but too long of a file folder name to give out on the radio, but it's definitely in there. You can search for that and find it. It's under deep down under app data in local state and the assets. The tricky part, even if when you find that, is that they don't have file extensions there, but you can rename them. They're just .jpg files. If you rename them, then you can look at them as that. They look pretty good.
Oh, okay. So Windows is not calling those Spotlight files from the web. They're on your computer already.
Well, at one point they call them from the web, but they do store them on the local drive. I don't know how many I had. I had half a dozen when I looked, and they're all jiggery juice, big message code. And then, of course, if you did change it to .jpg, and you can look up where you can find them. I didn't want to. There is a way to just give it a link and do that, but you're getting in the user name directory and app data, and I don't want to encourage people to do that. But so if you can find it on yourself, well, then you're trusted to go poking around in app data, because that is a hidden directory. It's under, if for those local packages, Microsoft.Windows.ContextDelivery, underlying whole best mess of letters. Then / local state, and then / access. If you want to go Splunky, app data is a hidden directory. So you either have to show hidden files with Explorer, or you just have to go by faith and just type in app data after your username in your username directory, and it will appear.
Tread with care, though. And we've got another phone call. With this is Joan again, and this time she called us and actually chatted with Christy. And it's about data elves.
Go ahead, call her.
Hi, guy. It's Joan.
Hey, Joan.
I have a problem.
You have a problem. All right. Well, good. This is tech problems places, not other problems.
My computer is incredible.
All right.
I was going to call to get your advice on how to transfer files to my new computer, but I opened my new computer and turned it on, and my stuff was there.
Like, wow.
Magic. It flew through the air. How did that happen?
Elves? Have we ruled out elves? There's a little couple on slate, but I'm guessing a Windows machine. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
I'm guessing you signed in under Joan, whatever your Microsoft account is.
Right.
When you get a new computer, it's almost impossible to try to get by without signing into your Microsoft account. So you were good, and you knew your password, and you knew your account. You signed in your Microsoft account. And lo and behold, I think you also sync your files. Now you can either with OneDrive, so you can either have all your files on OneDrive, or you can have them both on the local machine and on OneDrive. So when you did that, everything worked as it should, and you're actually just logging in kind of the Microsoft cloud, and that's the way it's supposed to work when you do that. One of the things you might want to, so all the stuff's there. So one of the things you might want to do, and this is for everybody at Windows 11 that got new setups, unless you buy it from a friend or a refurbisher that set it up for you, Microsoft turns on encryption, even on Windows Home. Now, if you need the encryption, if the Chinese are after you, or you might be might be a target of government surveillance or something, journalists breaking news stories, I don't know. Other than that, you may want to turn that off.
And how do I do that?
Well, that is, I always go into search and and just type in encryption, which is Ian Cry, as I remember. And it talks about, and it should come up with, could be BitLocker drive encryption, could be data encryption, one of those. You see any of those going up?
Okay.
Device equipment, device encryption, eventually is where you're looking for.
Okay. I'm taking notes.
Okay. When you get to data encryption or device encryption, you would look at that. It'll give you up under, it's under device security, under settings. Roll on down. One of the things is data encryption. And so it says manage device encryption. So you click on that yellow thing. And then the first one is device encryption on or off. So most people may want to take it off. I mean, you can turn it on. Just be very careful. You got your recovery key, and you're not going to lose track of your
I would never use that. I mean, I would never use that.
So. Yeah, and if you can't boot your computer and you can't get your Microsoft account, which happens to a lot of people, the hard drive is just garbage because it's all encrypted, so you can't get any of your data. And you can't log on to OneDrive, so if you forgot your passwords. Yeah. But if you remember, it's okay. It's just something to remember that your data is locked away on that hard drive unless you're logged into Microsoft. So you may want to turn that off.
Let me tell you something that I've never seen when buying a new computer. It sent me a USB drive, which it said is a recovery.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, it is. It flies by on a lot of the installs, and that's good to have and good to keep and good on you. Yeah. Did you actually put in a USB drive and do the recovery?
No, because I don't do those things without calling Battleboard.
No one does those. No one does it. And then when you get in trouble and you can't log in, it says, forgot your password? Insert your recovery USB. And you go, what the heck is that? You 5 years ago that you blew by trying to get your computer working.
Yeah. Or better yet, where did I put it? Where is that safe place I put it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did have one guy that actually brought out a printout copy of his encryption key for his hard drive. I just about fainted, but he's also the guy that keeps track of my money, so I guess I feel good about that.
That's a good thing.
In some Bitcoin repository somewhere and can't get it out. So. Well, good. Well, so the OneDrive actually worked for you. So OneDrive and Windows login, it's very important to keep your account, if you're using it, to keep your account and your password close. Don't just use that at login passcode, the little numbers, the PIN code.
Oh, right.
Because that's only on that local machine. It doesn't help you in another machine. Doesn't help you to log into the web if you need a recovery key. You need to have the password. And you say, oh, I just have the PIN code. No, you have a PIN at one time you had a password. So keep going.
And I have been working very hard. You know, I called complaining because I'm having to constantly redo my passwords. Well, I realize that it's probably because it keeps sending me a message saying, you know, these 135 passwords are compromised and you need to redo them. Well, that was so overwhelming that I'm just kind of doing them one by one. Is that
right? Well, who's sending you that? That may be a scam.
No, they're not sending. No. They're not sending it to me. It's just when I go to use in my password program, when I go to click on a password, it will say you have 139 compromised passwords. You need
that's
to.
Not good. So you got a password manager that's nagging at you?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Like you aren't enough.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, yeah.
So I'm going to work on all this stuff. I'm trying to be a better citizen.
Well, you did pretty good, going from one computer to another and logging in and getting everything there. Turn off that encryption to save your future stuff a little hassle. And, keep working through those password resets. All right.
All right.
Thanks
all
for calling. Battleborn
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Well, I feel a little bad. I'm always going to knock it on Microsoft and their OneDrive, and I get a little bit of a skewed sample size because the people that come in the shop are the ones that have trouble. The ones that don't have trouble don't come in. So it's good to hear from Joan to say that OneDrive works as it's supposed to, and that when she closed out of one computer and shut it down and ready to refurbish or give away or whatever she's doing with it. And she got another computer signed in her Microsoft account and gave it a little time. It takes a little time if you have a lot of files. All her files came back as they're supposed to. Now, she wants to check to make sure the little icon, whether it's cloud or after it or then, click on it and see whether it's stored both locally and on OneDrive or just on OneDrive. You probably want both unless you have way too much. Then you have to reconsider your life choices. but one of the things to do that I couldn't resist, even though I was saying, hey, good job, Microsoft, on that on this default setting, I also had to say, oops, make sure you check on that new computer that they're the encryption, the data encryption. Now, they talk about BitLocker, and BitLocker has its own control panel in professional Windows, and most people don't get the professional version of Windows, and the people that do get it know what they want, know what they're doing, however, and so can handle the BitLocker. However, in Windows Home, the most popular version and the one you're going to get if you just buy a single computer, that one also has data encryption. They don't call it BitLocker, but it is BitLocker, and they call it device encryption or and you have to dig down and drive because if you just get a plain old vanilla laptop from a big box store, or if you install Windows 11 and sign in with a Microsoft account, they'll flip that encryption right on. And if you like that encryption, you're worried about government surveillance, China coming after you, foreign intelligence or something, then okay, you're probably not listening to the show. But if you're just normal and you really maybe don't want the encryption and figure that, oh, what if I lost the password? What if my computer crashes and I can't get to my OneDrive account, my Microsoft account? I didn't save the little crazy BitKey recovery. Maybe you want to turn that off. No worries if you do. That allows other, like when they bring a machine in, if they got BitLocker on it, I can't use a lot of tools to do things like reset the password or try to get it to boot again. I can't access that drive without the BitLocker huge key. One of the options on the device screen is to save the BitLocker key. I do know one person that did that. Save it, print it out, keep it in your special papers, whatever you do. But that's another option. If you keep the drive encryption, make sure you got that BitLocker key saved in a place other than the hard drive of the computer, because when it goes, it's locked up and you can't go there.
Ugh. Well, we got another call here. This was another voice message left by Lee. And Lee is trying to install Windows software on Linux. Well, Oops. Let's see what happens.
Hi, this is Linux Lee, and I have a question. I give you permission to use record my voice for later radio broadcast. So my question is, I'm using my Raspberry Pi 500, and I want to be able to access OneDrive, Microsoft OneDrive. And so I downloaded the app, so it's an executable file. And now when I try to run it, the Raspberry Pi is asking me which program to use to run the executable file. It gives me a gives me a list of applications, accessories, games, graphics, internet, office, other programming, sound and video, or preferences. So I'm not really sure how to proceed from here. So I appreciate your advice. Thanks.
Well, it is confusing. If you're a Windows user and you moved on over to Raspberry, you're just spoiled. Because you just think you go to a web page, you click on the link to download the program you need, bingo bango, you're off to the race. No, those things, especially Microsoft stuff, is assuming and giving you a Windows what's called EXE file, EXE. It's called EXE. Sometimes it's a .msi, but same things, same. They are not for Linux. You have to seek out the actual Linux software for that. It's probably not hosted on a web page and most likely not hosted on a Microsoft web page. So no EXEs on Linux or a Raspberry Pi, which runs Linux, of course. So what do you do for OneDrive? Well, OneDrive, the easiest thing to do, and for starters, I'd go to OneDriveLive.com. Yes, that's a web page. OneDrive.live.com. You can definitely do that in Linux under Chromium. Bingo bango, you sign in and there you are. All your files are there. You can put them, upload and download, whatever you want to do. Do not install any programs with .exe because that's not it. And we'll talk about wine later. Put down the keyboard there, Anthony. We've got mounted. Now, if you want mounted folder experience, you want to look into what's called rClone. That's R-C-L-O-N-E. You can get that good old sudo app install and put it down there. And one of the options is OneDrive. Now, that's not the same OneDrive experience as Windows. You sort of have it that you can access the files, go back and forth. There's no syncing going on. Now, if you're really into it, you can get on a little GitHub project, OneDrive Client Oxen from our friends over at All Brawn Egg. That's ABRAUNEGG / OneDrive. And what that does is a Linux client for OneDrive. And once you got it set up, which is not single click experience, once you get it set up, it works a lot like OneDrive works in Windows. It's a project going on. You can check that out if you're more interested in that. One of the things that you can do with EXE file that we kind of gloss over there, especially if you're a gamer, not the OneDrive. I wouldn't use OneDrive either. But there's something called Wine. And what Wine does is that Wine is not an emulator, and that's what it stands for. It doesn't emulate Windows. It's not a little Windows running in Linux. What it does is kind of like a translator in that every time it takes a look at whatever time the EXE file, the Windows file says, hey, go draw a window on the screen or change and put this text up. It takes those Windows instructions and translates it into what Linux wants to see. It's a compatibility layer, not an emulator. It doesn't run the Microsoft code. It translates into that. It's good for games. You can choose what Windows version you're going to emulate. You can install support language. You can use something on Play on Linux to get the games going. So if you are a refugee from Windows world and you have that just one Windows program, you really can't find a substitute in Linux, take a look at Wine. Wine can do that. And Of course, for games, it's a big winner. Valve's Proton runs behind Windows games, and it runs on Linux Steam Deck is another one that. So those are good for Linux tools. They're not good for big programs. They're definitely not good for system programs like antivirus or hardware drivers or complex enterprise software or programs that expect very hooked deeply into Windows. It's not really hard to tell that kind of stuff. But for a small little program, you can definitely run it with Wine.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. How about some words of wisdom heading on out?
This has been Battleborn Tech. Call or text 775-241-3571 anytime from anywhere. Thanks to our callers, Joan and Lee. Our callers are Battleborn. Want to be like them? Leave a message at 775-241-3571 and give us a good time to call you back to record some tech help for a later show, or like our callers tonight, just leave your question in the voicemail. For consulting and tutorials, visit our local neighborhood computer center, Carson City Library's Tech Busters every Monday at 3 p.m., Carson City Senior Center's Tech Help midday on weekdays, or a computer user group like CarsonCityLinux.org, meeting every third Saturday at Computer Core in Carson City. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. That's Break, like 100 years that the State of the Union was just mailed in. Our engineer is Joe Bly, sitting with us tonight in the radio gallery reserved for community heroes. Produced by Christy Ramsey, a teleprompter with opinions instead of scrolling text, he trolls for callers. Each week we present the state of the show and delivering the official response, representing the reality party, is Anthony, our ex post facto checker. Notice some of our jokes are courtesy of ChatGPT. Get revenge by prefixing your queries with the instruction, never use the EM dash. If the reply contains an EM dash, rewrite the sentence. That'll show it. Battleborn Tech reminder, the state of KNVC is strong because this community stands behind it. May our single be clear, our volunteers faithful, and our mics always live. Support your station by donating at knvc.org. And may the airwaves bless us all. Our email is questions@battleborn.tech. That's questions with an S and T-E-C-H at the end. Our latest links are bbtl.ink/stats, S-T-A-T-S. Get the links you missed there. This has been Battleborn Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Carefully review this episode or speed listen to the ones you missed at knvc.org in the local program section or bbtl.ink/shows. Have a neat week and tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific right here on KNVC FM 95.1. Stay tuned for Molly Moser and original tracks from musicians across Northern Nevada, because local creativity deserves local airwaves.